This morning I'm finishing preaching through Philemon, and this is on seeking provision from God through prayer, especially by getting certain elites to pray for you. Now, who are the elites? Well, there are people that are anointed to pray. There are people called to pray, and they are simply this, so pay attention. They are your brothers and sisters in Christ. God has made all Christians to be praying people. We are all the elites because he has made all of us to be the prayer warriors in his kingdom. And God made us to be members of the body of Christ in salvation. God designed all of us members to need each other then in certain ways in these relationships that he's designed. And he designed us to fulfill our calling to help those needs. He designed you. You have a part. And if you think you don't need the other members of the body of Christ, well, then you're ignoring God's word. God wants what he's designed to operate in its fullness. So we must know, you got to know, that we need each other. Who says that? God. And we must recognize our calling is to help one another. Who says that? God. Now, it could be financial help for someone beset with economic emergency. It could be encouragement. It could be teaching. It's always meant to be love, grace, and interaction that's reflecting God's relationship with us. We're relating with each other, reflecting his relationship with us individually. And the body of Christ is meant to express the life of Christ. God gifted each of us to fulfill it for building up one another. It's called edification. It's called building up. And this means doing two things. Willingly give yourself over to being used by the other people in the body. Now that's one. And also taking the step of using other people in the body. And prayer is part of it. Keep this in mind as I read Philemon 1:22. Paul wrote, "At the same time, also prepare me a lodging, because I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you." King James says, "I trust I will be given to you." To prepare your heart for this sermon, seek provision through the prayer from others. Let's pray. Lord, we're seeking you right now in prayer, and I'm asking that you would bless us with this truth to take it in, internalize it, make it part of our own selves to use and take advantage of as part of obedience, as a part of love, and as part of faith, guiding of the Holy Spirit, true guiding by your word. I'm asking all of this, make us into praying people, seeking others to join with us to pray to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when it comes to seeking provision, don't think it's inherently selfish. Some people do. Selfishness is to have no concern for others. That's selfishness. Self-concern is not inherently wrong, to be concerned about yourself. It's only wrong if it becomes sinful through sinful actions. Think about this. Receiving Christ to be saved is not selfish. Eating food to survive is not selfish. Seeking prayer answers from God for something that you want is not inherently selfish. It's not selfish to utilize Christians the way that God has shown you in the Bible. Instead, here's what it is. It's wisdom, it's obedience, it's faith, and it's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's only selfish to use people in an ungodly manner. Now, your call, my call, is to strongly appeal to the other members of the body of Christ to partner with you in intercessory prayer for your own self, for your desires. God wants this, okay? Their call, your brothers and sisters in Christ, it's the same, the other members, seek you out to pray for them. God wants other people to appeal to you, to appeal to him in intercessory prayer. And to do this, a necessary starting point is to recognize how immensely huge God is when it comes to answering prayer. God is so powerful. I mean, just think about this. He designed everything to exist in such a way that he answers the prayers of his people in concurrence with the requests. And so when you pray, he answers according to the grand scheme of things in concurrence with your prayer. Paul the Apostle knew this, but notice that the relationship principle goes beyond your own prayer. Paul said, "Through your prayers, Philemon, I will be given to you." So nobody can understand all the depths of how God views prayer. But we know God is sovereignly active. In 1:4, Paul thanked God specifically for the love and the faithfulness that Philemon had. Philemon's Fruits of the Holy Spirit were proofs of God being sovereignly active. They're the Holy Spirit's fruits, not ours. We just bear them. And Paul showed respect for God's sovereignty when he said that unsaved Onesimus was separated from Philemon for a brief moment for a God-ordained reason. For Philemon to get Onesimus back forever now as a spiritually saved man. And so though Onesimus ran away unsaved, God was completely sovereign in orchestrating all the events for bringing him into what matters most, spiritual rescue from everlasting doom. Scripture always shows how amazingly expansive God is, how much his hand is at work in our lives and every Christian's life all over the world. But God is too great to fully comprehend in all of his infinite details. And one detail is that God created everything to work in such a way as to have a relationship with his people to answer the prayers of every single one of us. You too, me, everybody, all over the world. China, Africa, South America, Thailand, Australia. If I'm missing a place, you know, the North Pole, South Pole. God gets perhaps billions upon billions of combined prayers from people throughout each day. I would just love to know how many prayers are going out every minute to God. And as population grows and the church grows, the expansive church grows, it just grows and grows and grows with the prayer. And here's the thing. God answers each prayer. All the billions and trillions. He answers with either a yes or a no or a wait or an alternate provision. And in his ability, God orchestrates his answers to the trillions to always align with his ultimate wisdom and a grand scheme for everything. And God's hugeness in this is a fact that we really need to embrace very, very, very quickly. You need to get that settled. The one true God has designed this prayer relationship with you as a privilege to be practiced. He's listening and he wants you to pray. So pray. And then ask others to pray for you like Paul the Apostle did. Do it knowing that he not only hears you, but actually will answer your prayers according to the way that you ask. And that means asking the others to pray. Now, God does not always answer with the exact answer that you want, but he answers. And he will answer you with an answer that you want at the right time that the need is to come into the grand purpose. So pray, never considering certain requests to be too small for God to be interested in answering according to your own desires. Never consider requests to be too big or too complex for God to be interested in answering according to your own desires. But there is a rule that you must follow. Other elites, and you know who we are, we're all the Christians, we're the elites. We're called to pray because we can do it. We're doing it by the Holy Spirit according to the knowledge of the word. Other elites that you want to pray for, you must follow this rule. Is that you need to pray desires that are godly. Now, by godly, I don't mean out of reach standards of perfection. And the reason why I'm saying this is because there's no need to overthink this. Just pray what you think is a godly desire to the best of your biblical understanding. Don't pray for sin. Just pray to the best of your understanding. Paul's desire that through Philemon's prayers, Paul would be released and get back to Philemon was a godly prayer. So you want to pray, you want to ask for prayer, and you want to do it from others. You want somebody else to pray with you. Well, start by discerning whether it is blatantly sinful or not. Check it with God's word. You don't know what God's will is going to be with your requests, but you know it's okay to ask God to answer the desire with a miraculous provision. And then hold on to the principles that you know, things that I've already been going through, things that you know. So Paul knew God in his hugeness, he knew this, had sovereign reasons for Paul to be in prison. Follow what I'm saying. God had sovereign reasons for Paul to be there. But, and this is important, Paul also knew it was a good prayer request of Paul's own desire in it all to get out of prison. And so recognize that God has providential reasons going on according to his sovereign hand for whatever it is that you're going through. But like Paul, don't be shy about praying for your release, praying for change, praying for other blessings. Pray and trust God in his sovereignty. I mean, God knows what he's doing. He'll say no if what you're praying is wrong, but he'll say no for other reasons, like having you wait, or maybe has something better for you in mind. So we need to learn from Paul the Apostle on this. He's the apostle, And with Paul's desire and deciding to pray that desire, he actually had special insights concerning the good things God was already doing in the midst of his imprisonment. So he's praying to go out, but he already knows what God is doing that's good in his situation. God was doing good things, but Paul prayed for something else. Paul knew God was doing good things when he wrote to the Philippian church while he was in prison. So you have Philemon, his friend that he wrote to, but you also have the Philippians, the Christians. And he said in Philippians 1, listen to this, "My circumstances in prison have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brothers in Christ, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." Wow. That's a whole list of good things God was doing with Paul in prison. Paul recognized God's sovereign hand in the imprisonment, right? But listen to what Paul says next. He said, "I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers." Listen, did you hear that? "Through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ according to my earnest expectation and hope." So get this. It has the principle in it that operates in your life. Paul recognized God's sovereign hand in his imprisonment, and he knew the greater progress of the gospel is a good thing. But, and this is the point, Paul also understood that deliverance from prison is a good thing as well, right? And so Paul recognized the principle of seeking provision for his own desires, because that's what he wanted, out of prison, and seeking it through the prayers of his fellow elites, Christians. So listen again. Pay special attention to each word specifically. I'm going to read this again, Philippians 1, 19 through 20. Paul said, "I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ according to my earnest expectation and hope." Then at 2:24, Paul said this, "I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly." Take that in. The provision that you're seeking is of the Spirit of Jesus. Desire to be delivered out of prison in godly ways, even in the midst of God doing things with you while in prison. And employing brothers and sisters to take part in the godly desire, remember, they're all elites by interceding for you in prayer for yourself. It's very good. And it's the same thing that Paul did with Philemon. So embrace this point. They are your personal desires. They are personal desires. And God answered those personal desires with Paul with a yes answer. So you must know that the Father cares about your personal desires. God always sees you as the special child that you always are. Reject the lies of the devil. You know, like you're a bother to God. No, you're never a bother to God. Like he's not listening to you. No, that's not true. No Christian is bothering God when they pray. And what you're doing is you're being obedient. You're being wise. You're being fruitful when you pray. You are fulfilling your calling. You're being faithful and you're operating as the elite that you are, a prayer warrior. Philippians 4:6 tells you, in everything, by prayer. Everything by prayer. It doesn't matter how ridiculous you think it is, how small. It says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, so it's all going on at the same time, let your requests be made known to God. So you do that, and what you're doing is you're being obedient to God's word and faith. You see what I'm saying? You're a prayer elite, practicing your skill. And know that your Heavenly Father cares. Sometimes it might seem that he has a particular matter settled, something that you're thinking about praying about. Looks like he's already got it settled. However the situation appears, just know that God really is interested in what you want to do. And so unless God has specifically told you that he's not going to answer your prayer by giving you the godly, non-sinful, seemingly wise desire, then you'd be presuming God's answer beforehand if you think something like, well, God won't answer my prayer because what I want doesn't really matter to him. You don't know that. The reality is that God wants you to pray and let him decide what to do with it. He wants you to go on a step further, and he wants you to get others to pray about it too. That's the sermon. Now, it could be a business situation. You want to see God miraculously intervene in this some way, business situation, supernatural intervention from God? Never think God has no interest in the pockets of life called commerce, business, or jobs. He's very interested in that. Those areas are no different than anything else. Even our marriages. Be praying about your marriage. Everything. Doesn't matter. Your hobbies. Food. Jesus prayed. He always gave thanks for his food. Maybe you prayed for a business deal to go a certain way, and then it does. Or you prayed for a particular job, and there was provision. But here's the thing. Now you wish things would go another way. Well, don't think that since you already prayed before that you can't pray again for something else. God doesn't say you can't do that. Pray again, fully expecting that God sees all your godly prayers as legitimate. Pray as many prayers as you desire. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is a short verse. It gets right to the point. It says this, pray without ceasing. That's what Jesus did also. He prayed the same exact prayer over and over again in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was answered with a yes answer. An angel came down and took away his point of death experience of anxiety. He was sweating blood. Angel came, answered his prayer with a yes answer. Pray in faith with thanksgiving, fully expecting God will answer accordingly. Paul often prayed for wide doors to be opened for ministry. In prison, Paul found out that the advancement of the gospel was there, and he knows in his heart that God ordained it to occur. So what would you call that in terms of a door? Well, a wide door was already open right there in prison. Paul already decided to pray to be released, though, from there. See, he's looking for more wide doors. This is how it all works. It's all good. It's all good. Pray for healing with this type of understanding. Miraculous healing is not something that God always answers with a yes, but God still heals, and he still heals in respect to prayers. Ask God for it. Recognize it's good to ask. He'll answer according to the grand scheme of things. Now, there are exceptions. There are healings that you should not pray for, but the Word of God explains what they are. 1 John 5:16 through 17 says this. If anyone sees his brother committing sin not leading to death, he shall ask God, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make requests for this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. Now, coming into that, in 1 John 5:14 through 15, it says that God does not hear certain kinds of prayers. Now, does not hear was a figure of speech, meaning that God does not answer with a yes answer. Because God hears all of our prayers, but he doesn't hear your prayer in the yes answer way. That's what that means. And so the example of a kind of prayer that God does not answer with a yes is a prayer that has to do with God healing someone who must die. And God knows who that is. And we're also getting revelation from John. We're reading into the context there. John's instruction might have meant that they were on death row for some horrible sin, or they got injured in a sin and they're dying. Nobody today really knows what John meant concerning sin that must necessarily lead the brother to death, because he does call him brother. The point is that this is an exception. But God does give life to those kinds of people who do not commit sin that must lead to death. And John's not saying that God gives life to everyone prayed for. John described the kinds of cases that God blesses with this kind of an answer if he chooses to do so. Another exception is seen when Paul prayed for a problem to be taken away. We know it as a thorn in the flesh. And when Paul asked, he thought his request was good. A godly desire to the best of his biblical understanding. After praying three times for God to remove it, God spoke to Paul, which he was an apostle. He had this wonderful privilege, and God revealed to Paul that he was not going to grant him the desire. God's answer instead was that his grace was sufficient for Paul. But you don't always know what God's desire is on a matter. So pray for Christians to get healed. Do it. And always pray what you think are your godly governed desires. And utilize others to pray with you. I mean, this is the theme. Utilize others. It's Paul saying, I hope that through your prayers, Philemon, through yours, I will be given to you. I trust that through your prayers, yours, I will be given to you. Paul is a praying man. Paul had faith, but he's saying this in Philippians and Philemon about others praying for him. It's very important. It's Paul urging the Thessalonians to pray for him in 1 Thessalonians 5:25. He urged them to pray for him. It's Paul saying in Romans 15:30, strive together with me in your prayers for God to me. Isn't that interesting? Strive together with me in your prayers. It's Paul urging in 2 Corinthians 1:11, you must help us by prayer so that thanks will be given for the blessings granted through the prayers of many, he says. To do this, here we go. Don't let pride hold you back. Are you following me? Don't be so self-conscious that you don't want others to know what your desire is. Don't worry about being seen as needy or weak. You think Paul the Apostle would worry about that? No. God sees all of us as needy and weak. I'm needy and weak, and you better admit that you are. Pride gets you thinking that others will think that you're not doing what you can to accomplish your goals. Or it gets you thinking that your desires are going to be considered silly. But pride comes against the prayer mandate of God. You got to die to pride. You must. Reach out to others to pray for you. Also, you won't do this if you don't recognize the whole principle as being biblical. God wants you to get with his program and pray. Recognize the proper function of the body of Christ. We are members made for each other. Read 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. That'll wake you up. We're made for each other. Proper function is sharing your goals and ambitions for the elites to intercede for you. This is what Paul did. Walk in the full counsel of God. You're not a maverick for Messiah. You're not a lone ranger for the Lord. And if you think you're called to be solo for the Spirit, you're bringing negative consequences upon yourself. You're not bringing the blessings that you think that you have. It'll catch up with you. You can be an island for some time and think it's going to be great, but you're going to run out of provisions and you're going to get lonely. You're trying to be a fictional character Christian. Doesn't exist in the Bible. And so here's the thing. You can't redefine the proper role, function, purpose, and design for the body of Christ that God has ordained. He has ordained it. And your goal is to build up the body as the functional family of God that the Lord designed it to be. It's all of our goal. Pray for them. Their call has you in their task description. Get them to pray for you. Maybe you're going through something right now, and you just wish others would pray for you. Well, listen, die to pride. Don't be a loner. Practice biblical faith, not some kind of thing that you're calling your faith poem. Biblical faith. And take that thing to others and ask for prayer to God while you also pray to God. That's a faith action. That's a faith action. And as you do, make sure to avoid another realm. Don't assume God must give you every single thing that you want. But you can hope he's going to give you your request and be prepared for what you hope for. So it's both. Don't assume, but it's okay to hope. You cannot make things happen by positive confession. You cannot make things become promises for you in the Bible that are not really promises for you. You cannot get what you want just because you want it. Faith is not a magic wand. But what is true is that you can hope God will answer the way that you want. Sometimes you're going to get it, sometimes you won't, but you will always get what God thinks is needed in the grand scheme of things. And Scripture assures you that God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory since you are in Christ Jesus. All your needs. But God's riches and glory for your needs are not there to be supplied to your wants if your wants are not what God thinks you need. But since you don't always know the difference between your wants and your needs, I don't always know. You probably don't either, and I'm sure you don't. Since we don't, be prepared. The importance of this has to do with faith. And if you don't get what you want, don't think it's because you didn't have enough faith to get it. You already have faith. It's why you prayed to God for answers in the first place. If you didn't have faith, you wouldn't be worried about praying, right? You would never ask God for anything. You didn't have faith. So the thing to do in your trust, which is what Paul did, is hope that God will supply it. Hope is a proper view of faith and what faith really does. Okay? Hope is a proper view of faith and what faith really does. Hope is the real faith and trust issue in prayer. You have faith that God hears you. You have faith that God answers. You have faith that God's going to answer you with his answer. Now in hope, wait for God to answer while trusting him. Seek God to answer by fulfilling your desire while knowing in faith that he's going to answer with the best answer, the wisest answer, the most loving answer of all in the grand scheme of things. And this is why you're told over and over again in the Bible to pray. And as you do, be giving thanksgivings along the way while you do it. That's what it means by prayer and thanksgiving. It's you're thanking along the way. Why are you doing that? It's because you're already preparing your heart. It's the proper hope and the thanks. And you can keep your heart prepared for whatever God determines his answer is going to be, you see. Whether it's something else or it's the hope for outcome. Preparing your heart for the hope for outcome is so that you're not going to be surprised or you're not going to act amazed if the answer according to your request comes. Paul did this. Paul told Philemon, prepare a lodging ahead of time for me. Why do you do that? Because Paul didn't want Philemon to be taken by surprise if God releases Paul and Paul shows up at his doorstep. Actually, Paul knew it. Paul knows that God answers prayers with either a yes, no, maybe, wait, or an altered provision. But Paul was not surprised when God answers with a yes answer. He didn't want Philemon to be either. Prepare a place for me. You know, I've seen Christians become so amazed that God answers certain prayer requests with yes answers that they act surprised that it actually happened. Have you ever seen that? Have you been that? You see, what's going on, instead of gratefulness that their hope aligned with God's will, they act as if the answer is supposed to be something proving to them that God really does exist. But they already know God exists. So why are they so surprised? It's because they were not prepared for the yes answer. Folks, prepare yourselves. I know I don't mean just for the no answers, because that's a hard hit sometimes, because we don't line up with God. But prepare yourself for the yes answers. You need to. Because they come. We don't pray to God as a reason for proving it exists. We pray to him knowing that he exists and knowing he answers, which means he also answers by giving us our desires that we hope for. Not all, but he does. So don't go around acting like, wow, God really answers prayer after all? Can you believe it? I mean, if you're saying that, you're talking to other elites and they're going, yeah, brother, yeah, sister, I kind of do believe that. Instead, be thankful and joyous, acknowledging his provision. Yes, thank you, God, giving him credit for it to glorify him. And as you mature, thank you, God, for saying no. Pray it with thanksgiving. Paul demonstrated the way to go about it when he told Philemon to prepare a lodging as he looked at Philemon's prayers to God to have Paul brought to him. And he did this with the Philippians, calling it an expectation and hope when he wrote to them. So do this. Recognize how immensely huge God is at every single moment. Now with that, no matter what it is that you're going through, or whatever it is you're desiring, seek the prayers of others for attaining your desires. Yeah, you can pray, but remember, this is about what God's talking about praying with others. And know it's good to have desires that are godly. And even if you're working and you're going toward a goal, always pray to God to help you attain the desire as miraculous provision from him. So here's what it is. It may be in conjunction with your effort that he might do this, but it may be totally aside from your effort. But here's the thing. Either way, it's still his provision. Don't try to take all the credit for it. Prepare for the outcome so that you're not taken by surprise by his answer. Yeah, give him the credit. But don't act surprised. Be thankful. For whatever it is, either no, wait, an alternate provision, a yes answer, be thankful in every answer. The main thing is pray. Seeking provision through the prayer of your elite brothers and sisters is just another God-ordained step to take in doing it. And he wants it from you. Amen.